with no qualifications, we can appreciate, you know, Krishna. Then if we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, our material desires are purified, diminished. We have to, you know, live in the material world, but we shouldn't live in here with an attitude of exploitation, because then there's going to be some reaction. Then after we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, our material desires are purified, then our intelligence becomes purified, and then we can actually perceive Vrindavan, the spiritual world. And then we get the mercy of the six Goswamis, the pictures on the altar there, underneath Gaudiya is Panchatattva, then under them on the right is six Goswamis. Then we can actually understand the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. It's very difficult. Prabhupada says even after 1,000 lifetimes, you can understand the love affairs of Radha and Krishna, you are making rapid progress. So we'll do two lines at a time. Okay, that's the rules.
Goranga bolite habe Hulaka sharira Hari hari bolite nai Yane babe nira Adaka bagne tai chander Koruna hoi bay Sangsara basana mor Kabe tu chahabe Adaka bagne tai chander Koruna hoi bay Samsara basana mor kabe tu chame Vishaya shariya kabe shudhabe man kabe ha mahera boshri shri vrindavana Vishaya chariya kabe sudhabe ma kabe amaera bore shiyenda bena rupa ragunata pade hoi be akuti kabe hama bojabo Yugala Piriti Nara Dunata Pade Oibeya Kuti Abeya Mabuja Bose Yugala Piriti Rupara Gunata Pade Rahu Morai Vartana karaje sada narotamada Nukara gunata pare ahumora Vartana karaje sada narotamada Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare, Hare. Hare Hari Hari Bali Te Nai Yane Babi Nira Hari Hari Laka Hari Hari Bali Te Nai Yane Babi Nira
Shinartam Das Thakur Ki. So he's a So yesterday we mentioned Bhagavad Gita 5:23, yeah. 2 plus 3 is 5, yeah. And he says Shaknati Haiva Yasa Dum Parak Parak Sarira Vimokshanat Kama Krodo Bhavan Vegam Sa Yukti Sa Suni Suki Naraha. Yeah. So he says it's somebody who can tolerate the different vegam, different pushes. Right? That's what we're discussing is Rupa Goswami's Upadesh Amrita, the essence of all advice. He and his brothers dominated the world of 16th century Bengali the whole of India, metaphysics like that, which basically means you dominated the whole world of metaphysics. And he summarized everything he knew, all these incredible verses and literature in 11 verses. And here it is, right there, available in the bookstore. For only, I don't know, how much? Yeah. 2 euros? 1 euro? Priceless. There. Yeah. Like I say, we get 15% of all sales for the next 10 weeks, so purchase now. Yeah. So 11 verses, you know. And he starts off saying that everyone's being pushed. Everybody's being pushed. Krishna's talking to Rukmini, his wife there, queen. And he's joking with her and says, I think you made a big mistake marrying me. I'm just a fool and incompetent guy, and I'm not really a very brave king. I had to build this palace city in the middle of the ocean because I was afraid of all the kings of this world. So actually I'm a coward. I don't advertise it much, but really I'm a coward, and nobody knows who I am. Some people think that I would have stayed in Vrindavan with Nanda Maharaj and Radharani and everybody else, but I left them. Now I've come to the big city. And now I married all of you different princesses, but actually I don't know how to behave like a gentleman because I'm actually was raised in a country place, so I know my dealings aren't very well with you. And so I think you should look for a new husband. Of course, she already has children and everything else. So she just doesn't take it like joking, but she thinks Krishna's going to leave me, so she just passes out. Oh, you know. And Krishna's, oh my God, you know, she took it seriously. You know. So he lifts her up and she calms down. And then she takes every single self-deprecation that Krishna took and explains it as a glorification. So Krishna said that he was afraid of all the kings of this world. And she said, but who are the kings of this world? I think that actually the five senses, right? Even the greatest, you know, military commanders in the world, they can't control these senses like that. You know, so Vacho Vegam is the first text. Everybody's being pushed by the tongue, basically. This guy right here, he's hiding, you know. Can you see him? There, you can try, you know. Some people have longer tongues and others like that. But he's hiding up right under your nose, your worst enemy, like that. Yeah? And two things. He wants to taste everything, you know. He'd go over to the bakery, and it's closed. Oh, my God, it's 6:05. It's closed. What do I do? The sun is setting. Notice you have three fingers pointing back at yourself. You demon, one pointing at God. Yeah. Okay, I'll walk to the city like that. Yeah. Ah, wow. Some shakti. We need this. Shlopapada ki jai. Shrada Gopinath ki jai. All the garland makers ki jai. Wow. It's a beautiful handicraft, no? Wow. So you want to taste something. And when you taste something nice, you know, then your stomach starts to become agitated. Oh, you know, then you start trying to satisfy that, then there's more pressure, and then you have sexual agitation like that. So three pushes, tongue, belly, genitals. You know. So take prasadam, right? Take prasadam at regular times. The other function of the tongue is? Other function is? Talking. Yeah, talking. Vibrating. Yeah. Talking. And so whatever you talk about, you think about that, you know. And then if you start thinking about, you know, material things, they're bound to be frustrated. I'm going to become richer than Bill Gates. Other people also, you know, competing for this activity. Oh, I'm going to become more powerful than Arnold Schwarzenegger, like that. You know, no. So you get frustration from these material desires, unreasonable desires. And then what happens? Yeah, jiva vegam, no, vacho vegam, manasa vegam. Then you become angry, like that. And that's the most dangerous function of the mind, is anger. And, you know, frequently. Somebody becomes angry and you kill somebody. You just realize, I just killed somebody. I just stabbed them with the scissors in the garland room. I'm not dreaming. I can't erase this. I can't push the, erase disc or something. I just killed somebody. Because the anger just, like that. And you don't have to kill somebody. You can say something harsh. It will take somebody 15 years to forgive you for what you said like that. You can hurt somebody so much, you know. So, this guy right here, he's saying his advice. Advice. Bible says the same thing. It says if you meet a man who's controlled his tongue, you have met a perfect man, like that. And on like that. You know, Chinese proverb, make sure mind is engaged before tongue is in motion. Right? Make sure that the mind is engaged before the tongue is in motion, like that. You know, think before you speak. Yeah. So, you know, this is what the first thing he says. Control these pushes like that. And you'll be happy in this world and the next world too. Then he gives to you six things that will make it easy, six things that will make it difficult, verses 2 and 3. And all of me is good association. Just keep an association of good people and you'll be good. And even if you're bad, you'll become good. So that's text number 4, 5, 6. And 7 and 8, he goes back to the process. Tannama rupa nishatnama krishna charitadi sitapiya vidya. You should always hear about Krishna, his name of Krishna. Hallelujah. And you should see his form like that. And you should read about his pastimes, his Krishna book. So many wonderful stories, you know, like that. Nama Rupa Charidadi. And then you see Krishna's form. One time in San Francisco, Jayananda told us that he was there in the temple in Frederick Street in the very beginning, the second temple in ISKCON. And they had deities of Jagannath. You know, they've been carved. I was discussing last night how Shyamasundar was carving them, and they had them up on the up high like that, kind of like they had these different kinds of like Christmas tree type lights, blinking colors like that. Because that was the big hippie era, so people were into psychedelic things and all this kind of stuff. You know? And Jagannath has these very iconographic colors in his body. So when the red goes on, he looks like that, and when the yellow goes on, he looks like that. So it's like people were coming in like. Like LSD or something, and just sitting there like, watching it like that, something, you know. So, yeah, we reach everybody. So then, the devotees asked if they should dress him. And he said he already has clothes. He's painted on like that. You see Jagannath, he has his different things, ornaments. And he said, if you want to, otherwise you can just, don't have to. He already has his clothes, you know. So, Jagannath said, one time somebody asked, Prabhupada, he says, what does Lord Jagannath look like when you're self-realized? He looks over at Jagannath like that, look at Balaram. He's got a really extensive collection of neck beads around his neck there with some strange symbols. His kirt is kind of open, exposing the hair on his chest a little bit like that. He's got tilak on. His face is kind of red. He's got some flowers in front of him. Yeah. So same way, Prabhupada just looked at Jagannath and said, oh, you'll see a prince at Kurukshetra surrounded by elephants and soldiers and ministers and beautiful princesses, decorated armor. And it was the same way. It was like he was like describing what he was seeing, like that. And nobody else could see that. They couldn't see, Kurukshetra, elephants and everything else like that. You know? So, Prabhupada's, consciousness, he was... he's hearing Krishna's name, he was seeing Krishna's form, and Krishna has associates, nama, rupa, guna, qualities, sangha, and then pastimes. When you have associates, you have pastimes. So Jayananda also told us, the Prabhupada said, just go on chanting Hare Krishna, and you'll begin to see pastimes that you never read in any of my books, like that. Okay? Is that good enough for you? Okay. Keep on chanting. Yeah. So that's 7 and 8. Yeah. And also he says, then, you know, when you become, it's like it says in the song, Shudahabi mana kabiha maharabo shri vrindavana. When my intelligence is purified, when I understand things properly like that, you know, then I'll be able to see Vrindavan. Yeah. We have to, everybody has a certain perspective on life like that, you know. Ishwara aham, aham bogi. This is chapter what? Chapter 15? Demons, divine and demoniac natures. 15? Yeah. Yeah. Ishwara aham, aham bogi, siddham balavan suki. Translation. Ishwara aham, I am the supreme controller. Aham bogi, I am the supreme enjoyer. Ishwara aham, aham bogi, siddham, I am perfect. Yes. How many people here match you? Ishwara aham, aham bogi, siddham, balaban suki, and I am powerful. This man is my, that man was my enemy and I killed him. This man is my enemy and tomorrow I will kill him. It's all in the 15th chapter. This is, you know, demoniac mentality. So that's one attitude. That's one way of looking at life, you know, attitude. Yeah. Another attitude is, you know, Bhoktaram Yagatapasyam, Krishna is the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Krishna possesses everything. Krishna is everybody's best friend, not me. Yeah. I'm supposed to help. So this Prabhupada says, you know, in the beginning, that our advancement depends upon our attitude. This is buddhi. It's in the heart. Based upon our perspective from the heart, then we think about things. You know, I'm a supreme enjoyer, and I think about you. You know, I'm a servant of Krishna. This is part and parcel of Krishna. How can I, you know? So we have to develop a certain kind of attitude. And when our intelligence is purified by that, then we can see Vrindavan. Right, we can go to Vrindavan. He says, Tishtan Rajay, go to Vrindavan. And Prabhupada says, or else live in a temple. Make your home into a temple. Right? It's a certain level of development where you're qualified to live in the holy dham. Tishtan Rajay to Anuragi Jana Anugami. And take shelter of the advanced devotees there. So, the Bhagavad Gita, we had 5:23. You know, it's, you know, control the pushes. 5, 2 plus 3 is 5. Now the next one is a binary number. That's how you memorize these things. 8:24. Right? 8:24. It's 8:21. What is that? Binary. 2 to the power of 3. And 24 is... it's not a binary number, I guess. Close enough. I think it is. Yeah. It's not that one. 821. Yeah, 821. Okay, not a binary number. It is a binary. It's 8 to the power of 3, 8 to the power of 1, 8 to the power of 0, I guess. Yeah. Please repeat. Abhyakta. Unmanifested. Yeah. Akshara. Infallible. Iti. Thus. Uktaha. Is said. Tam, that, ahuhu, is known, paramam, the ultimate, gatim, destination, yam, which, so tam is that and yam is which, prapya, having gained, na, never, Nivartante, come back. Tat, that. So we got tam yam tat. Dham, abode. Paramam, supreme. Mama, mine. Peace of peace. Avyaktokshara iti uktas. Tamahu paramam gatim. Yam prapya nanivartante tad dama paramam mama. Very good. Yeah. That which the Vedantists describe as unmanifested and infallible, that which is known as the supreme destination, that place from which, having attained it, one never returns. That is my supreme abode. Prabhupada's purport. The supreme abode of the personality of Godhead, Krishna, is described in the Brahma Samhita as Chintamani Dham, a place where all desires are fulfilled. The supreme abode of Lord Krishna, known as Goloka Vrindavan, is full of palaces made of touchstone. There are trees called desire trees that can supply any type of edible upon demand. And there are cows known as Surabhi cows which supply a limitless supply of milk. In this abode, the Lord is served by hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune, Lakshmis. And he is called Govinda, the primal Lord and the cause of all causes. The Lord is accustomed to blow his flute, Venun Quarantam. His transcendental form is the most attractive in all the worlds. His eyes are like lotus petals, and the color of his body is like the color of clouds. He is so attractive that his beauty excels that of thousands of cupids. He wears saffron cloth, a garland around his neck, and a peacock feather in his hair. What is his nama rupa? In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives only a small hint of his personal abode, Goloka Vrindavan, which is the supermost planet in the spiritual kingdom. A vivid description is given in the Brahma Samhita. Vedic literature, Katha Upanishad 1.3.11, states that there is nothing superior to the abode of the Supreme Godhead, and that that abode is the ultimate destination. Purushan na param kinchit sakasta paramagatahi. When one attains to it, he never returns to the material world. Krishna's supreme abode and Krishna himself are non-different, being of the same quality. On this earth, Vrindavan, 90 miles southeast of Delhi, is a replica of that supreme Goloka Vrindavan, located in the spiritual sky. When Krishna descended on this earth, he sported on that particular tract of land known as Vrindavan, comprising about 84 square miles in the district of Mathura, India. Vrindavan Dham Ki. So he's saying, Tishtan Rajay, stay in Vrindavan. You know? And the next verse he describes, number 9 describes, Vaikuntha Janito Vara Marupari Tatrapi Raso Tsabad Vrindaranya Mudara Pani Ramanat Tatrapi Govardhana Radhakunda Miha Api Gogulapate Premamrita Plavanat Kriyadashua Vibrajito Gire Sabe Giretate Sevam Vivekinakaha. And he says that, you know, Mathura Mandal, right? It's 90 miles. No, less than that. 90 miles. That far. Yeah, it was that far. Yeah. So it's southeast of Delhi. So you leave someplace here. Where do you leave from? When you leave from Brussels, okay. And it's a direct, it's all KLM flight. KLM flight from Amsterdam, okay, right? That's how you go to India? Yeah, KLM. So you fly, zoom, 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 brrr, like that, sit there, zoom, zoom. Who is this guy next to me? Why is this kid kicking the back of my chair all night? You know? What is terrible movies, my body? Yeah, would you like some more juice? You know, pig or chicken? Like that. Like that. So finally, you arrive in Delhi, and you get off the airplane, and there's a certain smell. There's a certain kind of disinfectant there which you can always recognize. Detox, I think it's called. You know? Smells like Delhi. You know? And they've improved things, but in Calcutta they had these automatic baggage handling things. It was a conveyor belt. You know, bring your luggage down. Then it hit this big iron post like that, and, you know, on the corner to make sure it caught the next one like that. You know, but sometimes I saw this. It would come down. Your bag would get caught. It would literally rip the side right off your bag like that. Like that. Welcome to India. Like that. People looking, their clothes falling out. They've improved now. Improved like that. You know? Yeah. And all the security guards were all like these, like, you know, these military uniforms on, military colors, and you felt like you were going into some kind of battle zone. You know. So this one tourist guy said they should put like light blue on like that, so people feel more comfortable. And so you go and you wait to go through customs and all these strange alphabets, you know. And finally you come out and there you are and it's like hot and everything else and all these taxi guys are waiting for you. Yeah. Say, you know,
Yeah, Vrindavan, Vrindavan. Oh, no, sahab, no problem. 20,000 rupees. I am taking very first class, very class taxi. I am, Gokula Siddha Prabhu, I took him to Vrindavan. His card is here like that. So some local person says, pay him 200 rupees. You say 200 rupees. Okay, very good. This is good. This is good price too. Come with me. In the taxi, then there's like in the passenger seat in the floor, there's a hole in the floor like that. And the thing's kind of shaking. And we're going to Vrindavan. With somebody else, hopefully. And then there's a highway, one of the best highways in India, like that. It's two divided highway, But sometimes somebody has they're putting their straw out there to have it thrashed so all the cars will ride over it and break all the beams off, and something happens so it's broken down, so you're using the other half of the highway the whole time and cars are coming at you like that, So finally you arrive in Vrindavan, But actually even before you arrive, it's Mathura Mandal. It's an area. It's not a part of the material world. Just like if you go to the Italian embassy here, that's not a part, of Belgium. Legally, I don't know how it is here. I think it's the same everywhere. If the police are chasing after some thief, if he runs inside the Italian embassy, they have to stop at the door and start talking to the local guy. Let's grab that guy. He just stole this diamond ring from the jewelry store. Yeah. So it's not a part, of this country. So in the northernmost part of Vrindavan is Koshi. Because that's, what is Koshi? Koshi call? Kukila. Kukila? Means cuckoo. Cuckoo. So Radha and Krishna dressed up like cuckoos and they were calling each other, cuckoo, like that, back and forth. So every place has a pastime associated with it. So Koshi call. So when you come there, you're not in the material world anymore. It's at the frontier there, Mahamaya just says stop to the three modes of material nature, Durga, everybody else. It's just stop. You can't go any farther like that. There's a story that, because Kamsa, he was sending all his demons, wizards, to kill Krishna, Keshi, Pralambasura, who else? Vyomasura. And they weren't serving Kamsa out of love or humility. They were serving Kamsa because he was the meanest, blankety blank around, bigger than they were. But he never went himself, right? You notice that? Kamsa never, he could have gone himself to kill Krishna. Why didn't he go?
He tried.
Okay. Where'd you hear the story? Huh? Yeah. So you hear this story from the Brijabasis. And the one time Kamsa decided to go kill the son of Nanda Maharaj because he was sure Krishna was going to kill him. So he went there, and as soon as he crossed the river into Gokula, then Purnamasi, who's Yogamaya, the internal potency, she saw him and he became a gopi like that, And she said, "What are you doing? Everybody else is working, you lazy rascal. Come with me." So she grabbed his ear, her ear, and was pulling like that. So Kamsa's "Here, get to work," So first she had him making cow dung patties. You collect all the cow excrement and you gotta make it into, patty cakes and stick it on the wall, like that. But Kamsa kept falling off like that and stuff. He couldn't do it. So Purnamasi would come over and twist his ears some more, and do something else. He couldn't do that, And he was thinking, "My gosh, this witch is so much more powerful than I am, If I could just escape from here, I would never come back. This has been the worst day of my entire life, So the second he was thinking that, Purnamasi came and said, "You promise?" She said, "Okay." So he snapped her fingers and he pulled up his dhoti and ran back across the Jamuna. And never came back again like that. Similar story? Okay. Yeah. So it's like that. When you come there, Daivihiye Shagunamai Mamamaya Durataya Mamevamiya Prapajante Mayamevam Tarantite. Then you surrender to Krishna and you're in the internal potency. And Krishna lets people come to Vrindavan. It's the embassy. You can come there and maybe you're not so qualified, so they have somebody take you around, make sure you don't cause a problem like that. So you can be in Vrindavan in a little kind of bubble, tourist bubble, like that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says you can be in the Dham or on the Dham, Like all these new modern asphalt roads and stuff, they're on the Dham. Underneath that is Vrindavan Dham. Like that, So it takes some qualification to penetrate, to be able to see. You have to have Shuddha Habhimana, the purified mind, intelligence like that, And so then, you know, there's so much description. And it's the best place to cultivate Krishna consciousness. You know? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says, because of the contamination of Kali Yuga, all these spiritual places become contaminated. So therefore, it's better to associate with devotees like that who are engaged in bhakti yoga and stuff. One devotee, remember, he was, you know, he was a Sankirtan leader in Canada, French Canadian. Yeah. And he joined, he was a new bhakta, and he was doing very well, distributing books like that, you know. So they go, okay, you can go with the devotees to Vrindavan this year, you know. So he disinitiated. And he said they went to Vrindavan, they came to our Krishna Balaram temple, ISKCON, they came inside, and he said, oh yeah, okay, you're in these rooms. And they went there and got everything settled, and he had some books. Okay, I'm going to go out and distribute books now, the highest service, you know. So he went out the front gate, and the first Brijbasi guy walking by with maybe a bicycle tire to fix or something, he said, hey, this is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like that. And the guy looked at the book and said, no, he's one of us here. So, but with such absolute conviction when he heard this, it was just like, he said he was just shocked, you know. See, like a little dog when his tail comes down, he's a bigger dog. He said he was just like, he was shocked, you know. He kind of almost ran back across the street into the Krishna Balaram temple and was like, sitting there looking out the gate at people like that, you know. Yeah. Because Krishna does that. He raises the yoga-maya potency sometimes. And did you have that experience sometime? Sometimes it kind of went away for a little bit and you just, yeah. First time I was there in 78, electricity wasn't very good, and there was real beggars and real street dogs. It was tough. It was like very simple. But also somebody very nice, yeah. So I was down in Loy Bazaar, which is our temple is like about 20 minutes walk from Loy Bazaar, you know, from the main part of Vrindavan. We're like a suburban area, more fields. So I was there just doing something, and I was going to go back, you know, because at nighttime is a little dangerous, you know, walking around like that. And so then before I could go back, this yatra party came by, and it was some people, some group, some sampradaya. There's so many groups there besides us, you know, like thousands of different groups who have their place in Vrindavan. Punjabis, Marawadis, you know, Bengalis, you know, everybody, you know. Their traditions, their ashrams. So some group was going around chanting, and they had a little boy and a little girl dressed up like Radha and Krishna, like that, you know. And this is part of a whole, some pastime, little thing. So I had to wait for them to go by. And then for one moment, like the Yogamaya curtain came up, you know, and then suddenly I could see that it wasn't a boy and girl dressed like Radha and Krishna. It was Radha and Krishna. And all the people there were the Brijbasis, like Nanda Maharaj and everybody else, and we were in Vrindavan. You know, like that. Yeah. So sometimes it happens like that in Krishna. And it happens sometimes in our temples, but in Vrindavan, it's my experience, much more often. It's just Krishna lets you see things. Yeah. When you're on off the altar, you can think bad thoughts about devotees. Oh, he did this to me, this and that. Rah, 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 yeah. But when you go on the altar, I mean, most pujaris know this, Krishna doesn't let you think like that on the altar. You had this experiences? You start thinking some bad thought about the devotees, and you'll come up and you'll hit your head right on, you know, Gopinath's hand, and you go, wow, like that, wow, you know, and also you'll stick a pin right through your finger, you know, trying to dress a deity. It's just, you know, on the altar, you have to have a higher level of consciousness, and you get a higher result, because then you can see Krishna, you can feel Krishna's there, and, you know, serving him like that, you know. But Vrindavan Dham, the whole place is like that, right? You never can come off the altar when you're in Vrindavan, you know. So every single moment you have to control your consciousness. We mentioned this before. Otherwise, I mean, one time I got offensive consciousness, and then the whole place attacked me. Like, rocks were hitting my feet, you know, rickshaw wallers were trying to run me down, the sky was trying to fall on my head. And it's like everything was like, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. Well, okay, now be careful, you know. And I, you know. Well, you know. So he's recommending. But don't do it until you're ready for that, you know. You know, because again, Prabhupada says, control your senses for as long as you can. Then get out of Vrindavan, right? Go to Ayodhya, you know, go to Vaikuntha, go to Shivaloka, you know, go to, you know, different levels of consciousness. He's describing those. Yeah. Yeah. So tadama paramamama. And then so many devotees, you know, Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoye Beya Kuti Kabahama Bhuja Bose Yugala Pariti. Only when I'm anxious to understand the literature left by the six Goswamis can I understand all these things. You know? So also there's Prabodhananda Saraswati. You know, who is he? What is his, Yeah, internally he's Tungavidya, one of the eight principal gopis, the one on this side, on the last. What does Tungavidya mean? Tunga is apex, the peak. So it means the final perfection of knowledge. Yes, he is like that. Pranish, he belongs to like a kind of a little more neutral party. You know, Lalita especially, she's always like, you know, criticizing Krishna, and Krishna is like 20 minutes late for some tryst with Radha, and so the second he shows up, Lalita's ready for him, and like, you know, chastising everything else, and then, you know, Tungavidya's group is single. Give him a chance. Let him explain. Maybe he has a good reason like that. No way. You know, it's like that, you know so he's more that. She's more that humor. Now, externally, in Gaura Lila, he's the brother of, you know, Venkatabhata in South India. Lord Chaitanya is traveling in South India. And as I understand, they're two very, very high class Brahmins. You know, speaking Sanskrit backwards and forwards, everything else. And they were raised up in the opulent worship of Lakshmi and Narayan, like that. Some of these temples in South India, Jayananda was describing, they went there and it's like, the altar is as big as this, our castle, like that. Tall, big, you know, altars, and there's this Sriman Narayan, you know, 40 foot, 16 meter tall deity of Narayan, like that. There's big braziers burning incense with coals and smoke coming off, and you know, 300 fat brahmanas perspiring ghee chanting mantras together like that. You know, it's time for the artik, and take six people to hold the artik lamp. You know, and they say, "Wow, God, you know, hallelujah." Put your obeisances like that. Sriman Narayan. You know, so they were the leaders, the Rangakshetra, the leaders of the priests, and they accepted Lord Chaitanya's being so high class. And Venkatabhata's son is? Yeah, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, like that. So, Vanchito Shmi, I was cheated. He's like, Vanchito Shmi, I was cheated. So Prabodhananda Saraswati, he was there, and he met Lord Chaitanya and everything else, and understanding his philosophy. And you know, he's not an atheistic guy, a very religious person, you know, in the spiritual world. But he said, I was raised up in the opulent worship of Lakshmi and Narayan, Aishwarya Baba. But meanwhile, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, you know, followers of Lord Chaitanya, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas were drowning in Madhurya Ras. You know, Vanchitoshmi, Vanchitoshmi, Vanchitoshmi. I was cheated, I was cheated, I was cheated. Like that. So he left this worship of God in that mood, and entered into this more intimate mood of Vrindavan. And he wrote poems about Lord Chaitanya. But he also wrote, Vrindavan Dham Mahimamrita, the nectarine glories of Vrindavan Dham. And he wrote Shatakas, Ashtotra Shata, 8 Ashtotra, 8 Shata, 108. So he wrote Shatakas of 100 verses each. And I thought of how many there are, so maybe 15 or something like that. We have maybe 15 or 16 of them. And it's just incredible, you know. Again, he's super high class Brahmins. So the Sanskrit is less. I know Indian professors who comment, this Sanskrit is just, you know, incredible. It's like liquid gold or something like that. It's so precise, everything. So he's Tungavidya internally. He, she is a fanatic about Vrindavan. Did you read those when you were there? When you were on the parikrama? Yeah, but when you're on the parikrama, it's a whole different thing. You're reading those things there. It's like, he says, anybody who goes to Vrindavan and sees the beauty of Vrindavan Dham and then wants to go to any other place, any other forest, is like somebody who is knowingly rejecting Mahaprasadam to eat the excrement of a dog. Like that. Oh, fanatic. Like that. So when you're in Vrindavan, it's like, like that. The blades of grass, a lot of those in Vrindavan, right? You ever meditate on those? You know, pick them up, look in the blades of grass. So the blades of grass in Vrindavan. No, it says, he says, you can, what is it? you can drink nectar with Indra. Hey, old boy. You know, cheers. You can drink nectar with Indra. So what is this? You know, you can embrace the breast of Urvasi, heavenly nymph. What is this? You can merge into the unlimited, undifferentiated bliss of the absolute Brahman forever. What is this? The blades of grass in Vrindavan, blades of grass, they reject all these things. They spit on them. Vrindavan dam, keep. Yeah. So, look at the blades of grass. You know. See if they're spitting or not, you know. Like that. But like that, you know. It goes on and on, you know, verses like that. You know, it's incredible, you know. Yeah. Some other ones here. I can't think of some whole verses like that. Yeah? Yeah? Oh yeah. If somebody tells me to leave Vrindavan, I will cut out his tongue. If somebody tries to take me out by force, I will kill him. Even though I'm so poor, I'm crying from hunger. I can't get food. I'm crying from hunger, and I have to steal from others to live. Still, I will never leave Vrindavan. It's interesting you change the word Vrindavan for ISKCON. ISKCON. Anybody who sees faults in ISKCON is a fool. ISKCON is perfect in every way. Only fools and idiots see imperfections in ISKCON. I pray to God I do not see their faces at the moment of my death. Like that's interesting. Yeah. Here's some other ones. One very nice. He's saying that if you roll around in the dust of Vrindavan Dham, you're rolling around there in Vrindavan, putting the dust all over you, it will be very easy for you to obtain the same destination as that fortunate handful of pearls. Some pearls like that, but they're very fortunate pearls because they were personally strung into a garland by Krishna's hand and then hung around Radharani's neck like that. Want to go there? Yes. So he says, if you roll in the dust of Vrindavan, it will be very easy for you to obtain the same destination. Die. Vrindavan dam, keep. Die. Because of offenses, all these holy places become covered. It's like somebody, you see somebody coming in, they take Charnamrita, and spit in the bowl. It's like, should we kill the guy and kill the guy or cut him into 1,000 pieces and let him live? You know, it's like, and what's going to happen to this guy? My God, it's like the roof's going to fall on his head. But all these kundas in Vrindavan are just as sacred as Charnamrita. You know, Vimal Kund, Krishna Kund, you know, Vansi Kund, all these places are just as the pond, just as sacred. And you see people there, they're brushing their teeth and spitting in the kundas and washing their hair and everything else. It's just, There's so many things like that. So because of offenses in the Kali Yuga, then all these holy places in Vrindavan, they retreat, you know, to protect people from committing offenses like that. Until finally in the Kali Yuga, they're all covered. Govardhan is gone, Jamuna is no longer manifest, you know, the Badrika Ashram is gone, Nidivan, you know, the forests are all gone. But one aspect of Vrindavan remains right to the last days of the Kali Yuga, manifest and giving mercy. The dust of Vrindavan, die. There is nothing more merciful than the dust of Vrindavan, die. When you go there, it's tough sometimes to realize all these things. You know, rickshaw followers trying to run you over with their three wheelers, you know, and you know, kind of belligerent cows chasing you. You know. Yeah. But so this is what you take. You have to become purified. Purify your intelligence. One time, he also says, you know, the deities in Vrindavan are just, you know, Prabodhananda Saraswati says, the deities in Vrindavan are just marble statues. The men and women are ordinary people. The trees and the earth is just ordinary earth. He says, enough of this nonsense. I want to see the real Vrindavan Dham. Like that. Where every tree is, you know, is the leaves are emeralds and the flowers are pearls and the rain is nectar. And the, you know, the birds are singing musical choruses that melt the hearts. You know. Yeah. So, to do that, we have to purify the intelligence like that, and then make experiments. You know, on that. You know, trying to fasting on a codicil. You know, and adjusting. It takes time to try and get the proper attitude, proper experience. You know, but as we do that, then yeah, we can see, you know, different things like that. You know. Yeah. So, any comments about? Vrindavan. No. Yeah, yes, sir. He knows. He's been there. Yeah. Did you control your senses? No. But he's merciful. He also says, oh, mother Vrindavan, pick up your child who has been playing in the dust on the material world and covered with all kinds of mud, and place him on your lap and give him the breast milk of your mercy, like that. So he's very merciful too, like that. He tolerates all kinds of nonsense. You see that? People smoking, you know, BDs and cheating people, and see? Yes, he tolerates all that. Yeah? Yeah. Huh? Did it happen to you? Oh, you're destined for thousands of hells with no solution like that. Chop into hundreds of millions of people again and again like that. You know? No, Pavan Radha, Pavan Shyam, Pavan Sri Vrindavan Dham. See, you get the reaction. In Mayapur doesn't give you a reaction. Very merciful. But you don't know what's happening. You don't know that you're committing offenses like that. So Prabhupada says both combinations are better. Vrindavan Dham, Mayapur Dham. Panchatattva Mantra, Hare Krishna Mantra. Yeah. So, I mean, it's very most. Did you get sick in Vrindavan?
No, I didn't.
Yeah? 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 You see, because you get your reaction like that. And so you do something bad, and then, you know, she mercifully, like, you know, chastises you. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's saying if somebody makes even the most vulnerable offenses in Vrindavan, he still makes spiritual progress?
Yeah. But you suffer for the abominable offenses too. But that's kind of like, you know, temporary like that, so on, yeah. But it's like Kongsa. Kongsa, the most abominable rascal, right? But then that he got purified because he was doing it. But then what happens is Vrindavan won't let you stay. You know, if you're going to keep up with this attitude like that. But if you have some sincerity and everything else, then she takes the good part and, you know, tries to purify you of the reaction of the bad part.
Is the reaction coming in this
time? Usually for devotees and everything else, it's kind of like, you know, Krishna kind of settles up the accounts pretty quickly like that. You know, so, you know, if we're chanting Hare Krishna and staying with the devotees and stuff like that, then we're probably doing okay. You know, like that. Yeah? Yeah. And so, we just gotta go on working. You know? Because everybody comes. Prabhupada says we could become human beings after hundreds and thousands of life, hundreds of millions of lifetimes become human beings. So God, what's the surprise? We have so many attachments, so many bad habits, you know, like that. And sometimes some of them are very deep, you know. So, you know, we try and, you know, put ourselves in a position where we don't offend devotees and, you know, go on purifying ourselves. And then Krishna appreciates that, you know. Yeah. You know, and so he keeps on, you know, giving us opportunities, you know. And some of them are very fast, again, like thunderbolts smashing away at mountains, like that. You know? So we go to Vrindavan for some time and get some purification, get some reaction, try again, and then very quickly we can make progress. Yeah. Just hope. I know I've taken people there sometimes, a few times. Prabhupada asserts what he says. I know many great books, I know many great teachers, but as far as I'm concerned, there's no teacher like Vrindavan Dham. Like that. You just go there, stay there. You just one thing after another. You get educated. You know? A professor went there with us, and you know, after a couple of days, he was apologizing for having eaten meat. You know, he said, "When I was a boy, I never used to eat meat. It was from India." He said, "But I came to the city and chicken and stuff like that, and because my friends were in the school, university, nothing else to eat, so I started eating chicken." He said, "But I never used to do it. It makes you constipated." It was like amazing how before he was like, oh, it was like, you know, changing like that, you know. And they were walking along the edge of the Jamuna by Keshigat. There's these stairs down into the Jamuna. And they were covered with this green slime, very slippery, you know, the rest of us were. But he was like risking his life to get down and touch the Jamuna like that, you know. And he came back out like that. He said, you know, he said, it says in the so-and-so Purana, that if you take bath in the Jamuna one time, you never have to do another austerity the rest of your life, like that. So just seeing how he was just changing, you know, before my eyes. Many other people too. You see that Vrindavan is, you know, dealing with people in a very intense fashion. So everybody should try and go. Probably everybody should try and go to Vrindavan, you know, like that. And go with devotees, Tishtan Raje. Otherwise it becomes, you know, very, very difficult. Yeah. That's why he established ISKCON Center there, so you can go and have like a position to be able to, you know, be at equilibrium. Otherwise the Brijbasis, oof, they're just too difficult to deal with. The Food for Life program there, it's very big. And they distribute food for all the different villages and stuff. And they say even the village people in Vrindavan, they're different. You notice this? They're not like aristocratic or something else. They're just like, you know, from a different world. You know, like that. They're just like, so we're just like completely devoid of passion. Like that. You know, just a different world. You know, Brijbasis. Yeah?
Is it possible to do that other song because I was trying to wait for it? Where you say it was two songs in the third word, basically. You say Prabhupada uses two songs in his third word.
Oh, it's there? I don't think it's here.
Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe.
I don't know which song it is.
You said there was Narada Muni Bhajai Veena Radhika Ramana Name. We have to get copies. If you bring copies. Copies, photocopies. Photocopies.
Yeah.
We can do it. No, tomorrow, yeah. A bigger songbook has it. Yeah. Yeah, it's a common song. Not real common. Well, no, actually, it's a little bit rare. Tome Unu. Nice song. Who wrote that? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, yeah. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Yeah. Not here.
Doesn't seem like this.
Yeah. Page 75. It's in Bengali language. Yeah. One mother, Mula Prakriti, she was interviewing people who knew Prabhupada before he left India. And one of them was saying that Prabhupada was always doing bhajans like that. Very respected in Vrindavan. And he was doing bhajans, and he said he always seemed to like the bhajans that were about Sankirtan, about distributing. And this is a song about Narada Muni, you know. Le Grand Sage, Narada Muni. Yeah, he's traveling. No, it's okay. Tomorrow we can make photocopies. Somebody can translate, you know. But how he's traveling all over the world and singing Radhika Ramana Namine, Radhika Ramana Namine, like that, you know. And then everybody's reacting. Lord Shiva is howling in ecstasy, you know, and he's embracing Narada Muni and howling in ecstasy. Aribol, and Lord Brahma is, Indra's dancing with Brahma, you know, like that, you know. Like that. And he's describing the whole thing. And he says, by the mercy of, and the whole universe is becoming flooded with this nectar of the holy names. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I pray to the Lotus Feet of Rupa Goswami that this Harinam Sankirtan will go on nicely like this forever. Like that. Yeah. So, okay. So you make photocopies. I don't know. Okay. How many?
This is strange about
Yeah.
But we have also English
program. Yeah.
No,
we can do it together. Do it together. Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah. So come back tomorrow. So this is verse 8:21. It's very nice. And Prabhupada gives a little purport then about, you know, about Vrindavan, like that. And again, Rupa Goswami is saying, you know, go to Vrindavan. But of course, again, this can mean you live in a temple. Prabhupada says, every corner of our temples is Vaikuntha, like that. So you can look in the corners, like that. Yeah. And, well, but I can't see that. Okay, but again, you have to be able to penetrate You know, Krishna's here, like that. You know, and the gopis, all the gopis are here, Krishna, Radha, Yashoda, everything else. The walls are made of diamonds, like that. The owls are not ordinary owls. Things are happening here. You know? So we, by purified intelligence, we can begin to see that. And it's not a, again, it's not a, it's like a little bubble, right? All of our temples, like little bubbles floating in the material energy. Like, actually, I saw that one time. How is prasadam transcendental? I wasn't initiated. I was wondering that. So I was able to see Prabhupada in Los Angeles at one lecture, and so many devotees there, just sitting on the Vyasasan. And then for one moment I could see like water coming and hitting a diamond, and it just goes around it. There's no question. It just goes right around it like that. So I could see how Prabhupada's body was like not a part of the material world, you know. When he was like scratching his nose, you know, during the lecture, it wasn't because he was being forced to do that. It was some kind of like emphasis for the lecture like that. Everything he was doing was independent like that. So same way, we can see that if we become purified. And then we can become connected like that. Right? And anybody who comes connected with us, they also become transcendentalized. If Prabhupada touches a doorknob, does it become spiritual? If Prabhupada turns a doorknob like that, does it become spiritual? Prabhupada said, while I'm touching it. Certain spiritual master's shoes, his sitting place, and his bed, those who are Krishna kind of keeps those spiritual. So nobody should use them like that. Shoes, bed, and sitting place, things like that. So certain things, yeah, they maintain their spirituality and honor under all circumstances. Other things, when they come under the influence of a devotee, and they come, you know, they get transcendental potency like that. Yeah. Yeah. Topapat ki. Vrindavan dam ki. Akadasi vata ki. Thank you very much.